Welcome back to Explore Europe. This is the very first episode of our second series, and we're off to the most famous event in Germany, and certainly the most famous beer festival in the world, Oktoberfest. But we've also got another surprising tip for you. Stay tuned to find out all about it.
Welcome to Explore Europe, a podcast series for American military stationed in and around Germany. Each episode brings you travel tips and local secrets to help you get the most out of your time overseas. With your hosts, Michelle Peirce and John Sweeney, who have been living in Germany and exploring Europe for over 15 years. So, where should we explore today? Well, there's only one way to find out. It's on with the show.
Hello, explorers. Welcome back to Explore Europe. I am so excited to have you here. I'm your host, Michelle, in Mannheim.
And I'm John Sweeney in Ramstein.
Morning, John. How are you? How has your summer been? We've been away for a few weeks.
We've been backwards and forwards. We've done a little bit here and there. And we had a blast, a very quick trip to Paris, as we've already talked about, which we'll be hearing later in the episodes. Paris was a blast. We've had summer vacations. Kids are back to school. It's now September, and let's see where it takes us, because I've got a few things planned. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to autumn, actually, or Herbst, as we say in Germany. It's a really lovely time of year, and I must admit I've had the best summer. We've just had the most fantastic weather here in Germany. I've been out on my stand-up paddleboard as much as possible on all of the lovely lakes that are around me in this area, and just really making the most of the lovely, long, warm days. It's been glorious. But I'm looking forward to autumn, which is a beautiful time of the year here. And the great thing about autumn, John, do you know what that is here in Germany?
No, please tell me more.
It's the time for beer festivals and wine festivals in Germany.
Well, it's September, so what's the name of these beer festivals you're talking about?
Oktoberfest.
Okay, so in September, let me get this straight, it's September, but we're going to talk about Oktoberfest that are happening in September.
Yes, we're talking about the most famous beer festival of all, which is Oktoberfest in Munich. But do you know why it's called Oktoberfest?
No, tell me.
The very first festival, the very first beer festival, was a celebration of Prince Ludwig's marriage in 1810 to Theresia of somewhere I can't pronounce. And that was the reason for the initial celebration. It was held in October in 1810, but the following year they decided to continue with the annual tradition, moved it to September to take advantage of warmer weather and longer days, and extended it by a few days. But it's been called Oktoberfest ever since the very first one.
Wow, so that's the story behind the Oktoberfest in September, which I didn't know.
Yes, exactly. Now, it does run into September. So this year, Oktoberfest in Munich starts on the 22nd of September, and we are in 2018, and it runs until the 7th of October. If you're listening to this episode in the future, those dates are generally quite close to when they take place every year and continue into the first week of October.
You've never been to Europe. You think the Germans are dull and boring. Get down to the Oktoberfest. They are going to completely and utterly change your mind. The first year I went, you're in the middle of this big tent. There's 5,000 people. Everybody's dressed in. The men are in lederhosen and the Czech shirt, and the women are in the dirndls. Everybody's dressed up to the nines, having fun. I don't know if anyone can remember this song, but there was a song a few years back called Les Ketchup Song. Well, we're in the middle of the tent with 5,000 people, and they've got the Oompa Loompa band in the middle of the tent. And literally every third or fourth song, they would play the ketchup song from the big trombones and stuff. And the place went chaos. It was absolute chaos. It was brilliant fun.
Oh, fantastic. And so how did you get there? Were you living in Würzburg at the time or in Ramstein?
Yeah, I was living in North Bavaria at the time. So living on Autobahn, not far off Autobahn A3. So we all caught the train down and then overnighted. I think if you're going to go to one of these events, a train or a bus is this, or a car and an overnight is a very sensible way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely, or you need a very good friend who's prepared to be a designated driver. But I think one of the things to point out with Munich anyway is there is no parking anywhere near the Oktoberfest grounds. So really, it's not sensible to take a car anywhere near Munich anyway. If anyone's driven around Munich, the traffic system is appalling. So the best thing to do is get down there on a train. Now, from Wiesbaden, Cape Town and Stuttgart, that's a bit of a trek. So from Wiesbaden, it's about 4 hours. From Cape Town, it's about 4 hours. Stuttgart's about 2.5 hours. So I think it's definitely, that trip is definitely worthwhile doing as an overnight. And of course, Oktoberfest is the world's biggest beer and most famous beer festival. So Munich is very, very busy that time of year, and the hotels get booked up very quickly. So it is quite a challenging option, to be perfectly honest.
It is, but also there are a lot of group tours that go from the area.
Okay.
For instance, like the ski club Tannenbaum on base, they'll do bus tours to the Oktoberfest. And there you can leave early in the morning, come back late at night. So you're not doing an overnight and you're on a scheduled bus tour. And there are quite a few of those going from the area, which are, they're good to get involved in as well.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good idea. But if you do take the train down there, then you're going to find getting to Oktoberfest is really simple. Mostly when you get to Munich main train station, follow everybody dressed up in dirndl and lederhosen and you'll find your way.
That's a good tip.
The festival grounds is called Theresienwiesen, which is named after Ludwig I's wife, Theresa. You'll basically hear most Bavarians or people on the way to Oktoberfest talking about going auf dem Wiesen, which is just shorthand for Theresienwiesen. It means we're going to Oktoberfest. That's quite a common phrase, and you'll probably see that on a lot of advertising as well.
So public transport or an organised trip is an absolute brilliant way of getting down to Munich. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's one of the best ways. As you've mentioned, hotels get booked up very quickly in advance. If you check now on somewhere like booking.com, as we've mentioned a few times, they are the prices do start going up the closer you get to the date. So if you go in, book early. Look at also at the Airbnbs, because there'll be a lot of those knocking around now, and there might be some good deals. If you go in just one, two, three, four of you, you might drive down in the car, share an Airbnb or get a hostel or get a hotel. You're literally looking for somewhere to crash for the night. That's all you need. You're not looking for a fancy hotel, because you're going to go. You're going to have a lot of fun. You're definitely going to be a little bit inebriated on the way back. To just go and enjoy the time and make sure that you've got somewhere clean and safe to stay, or be on a bus or a train home. But a train home from Munich on the same day means you'll be leaving about 7 o'clock in the evening, which might not be a bad thing, because if you get down there at 10 o'clock, you know, if I remember correctly, that you book the tables in sessions of 4 hours or 5 hours or something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to come to this shortly, actually, and I'm going to give people some really specific detailed tips on the best way, on my view, the best way to do Oktoberfest, or as we're about to see, Cannstatter Wasen, the Frühlingsfest in Stuttgart. But we'll come to that shortly. You don't need to book a table, but if you're a large group, you're going to end up queuing to get into the tent. So in Munich, there's about 14 of these giant tents, and they are exactly what you see on the TV. They are huge tents. Some of them hold 10,000 people.
Wow.
They'll have bands. So most, I think in Munich, it opens at 12, but you can usually get in from about 11. They'll have music playing all day until about 10:30 at night. At the weekends, I think it opens a little bit later. Full of these wooden benches, they're called Festtisch. But all of those benches are booked. So if you queue to get into a tent, if there's just a few of you and you don't want to pre-book, you're going to queue to get into a tent, and you're probably only going to have space to stand during that period. Around the tables or at the bar, which is absolutely fine if you're not necessarily intending to spend a long time there or you don't want to eat. But if you want to spend a good afternoon there or an evening there, you need to book a table in one of the tents. My suggestion, and I think you're in agreement with me here, John, is on this occasion is actually to give Oktoberfest in Munich a wide berth and head to the Volksfest in Stuttgart, which is on at about the same time. Starts a little bit later, the 28th of September, and it runs a bit longer. It's on until the 14th of October. We call it Cannstatter Wasen or Cannstatter Volksfest. It's in Stuttgart, very easy to get to from K-Town, Wiesbaden, of course, super easy to get to from Stuttgart. Once you arrive at the main station, you're just following signs for the Cannstatter Wasen, and I think it's about a 10-minute journey on the Straßenbahn or the S-Bahn. Now, the reason I suggest this is because once you are inside one of these giant tents, and they have 10 of these giant tents in Stuttgart as well, it feels no different to Munich. It is exactly the same atmosphere, exactly the same experience. Outside of the tents, it's full of the same exact kind of fairground rides, festival atmosphere, people going crazy. But what you'll find is that it's going to be easier to book to get into one of the tents. It's much quicker to get to from wherever you're based, so Ramstein, Stuttgart or Wiesbaden, and you can get there and back in one day, and the whole trip can be a fraction of the price.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good way of doing it. And one of the real positive things about Stuttgart as well, obviously it being close, you can do it in a day, so you don't need to overnight anywhere. It's a lot more localised. So there's a lot more local. There's a lot more Germans there. When you get to Munich, you literally feel like it's 50-50 in Germans and tourists. Where in Stuttgart, it feels there's a lot more Germans, you feel a bit more homely, and you do seem to have a bit more fun.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was chatting with somebody at my local park run here in Mannheim last weekend who was coming over from Australia for Oktoberfest. That just blows my mind. I mean, that's the draw of Oktoberfest. That's the draw of music, Munich. And whilst that's incredible, you're dead right. What you're actually going to find is tens of thousands of tourists. If you go to Stuttgart, you're going to find there's still going to be tens of thousands of people there. Each of those tents holds between 6,000 and 10,000 people. They're as big as the tents in Munich. But in Stuttgart, you're going to find a lot more local people. And you're just going to find it's just a much easier day. Also, if you're looking for a family day out, rather than dragging the kids 4 hours down to Munich, you can do it in Stuttgart much, much easier. Both beer festivals are fantastic for families. Obviously, you're not going to want to spend hours and hours inside the beer tents with children. But outside of the beer tents, it's a huge fairground. So massive fairground rides, Ferris wheels, stalls. You can buy trinkets and food and tourist items. So anything kind of like German festival type. All of these things that you want to take home with you, all of these souvenirs, you're going to find all of that both at Oktoberfest and at the Volksfest in Stuttgart.
Great. And one of the real good things I love about the Oktoberfests is the food. Oh. You start walking around the place and there's barbecues going on. They're grilling bratwurst. They've got Schweinehacks. They've got a bit of everything. So there's food for everybody as well, including vegetarians, Michelle.
Yes, there is. But it definitely is a bit of a meat festival because we're talking about very traditional German food here. But it is fantastic. And no matter which one you go to, Stuttgart or Munich, it's an absolute must do while you're here in Germany. If you don't go to one of these beer festivals, you've missed out on a huge part of the culture here in Germany. Even if you're not a drinker, if you don't drink alcohol, you can still enjoy these amazing festivals and just really experience the real life of Germans here during the festival season. It is a wonderful experience.
So we want to get down there. We've talked about it. We're getting ready for it. How do we go about booking tickets, Michelle?
I mentioned this before. If you're going to Oktoberfest or Volksfest, that you don't need to book tickets. But you and I have both done it this way by booking, and I think it's well worth it. If you've got a group of, I think even more than five of you, but 8 or 10 of you, I think it's worth booking a table in advance into one of the tents. The reason for this is you're not going to queue to get in, and you're going to have a place all together. So my advice is to pre-book a table, and let me explain a little bit about how that works. Each of the tents in Stuttgart, so there's about 10 of them, are usually managed by one of the big breweries in the area. So they're going to be serving their own beer inside of there. They will also serve non-alcoholic drinks. The beers and even the non-alcoholic drinks like Weinschorlers and non-alcoholic beers
come in the giant steins, the 1 litre glasses that you see everywhere.
And that in itself is amazing to see. You'll see these, the bedienungs, the waiters and the waitresses bringing them over, carrying them. Like some of them will have like 5 in each hand and they'll be stacked on top of each other. It's an amazing thing to see. I can't do it. I can barely hold one of them, let alone 5 or 6 in one hand.
I know the strength they must have to carry those is amazing.
I wonder if they work out for it all year just in order to be able to work at the festivals. So I'll include a link to both the festivals on the show notes, but taking the Cannstatter Volksfest in Stuttgart as my kind of as my example, because that's the one I book the most often. What you'll do is you'll just choose one of the tents. Now, if you're not experienced with the beer, and you know, once you've had two or three, I don't know, does it really matter? The main thing is to find a tent that's still got space available when you want to go. And you may have to be a bit flexible about this. And you're looking for a section on there that says Reservierung. Now, there is a website in English for both festivals, but I think once you get to the reservation stage in the tents, it's going to be in German. So I'll put some key notes in the show notes to help you get through this. But let me give you some of the key words that are important. Most of them are going to have a minimum purchase. So that's at least 5 people, sometimes 8 and sometimes 10. It doesn't actually mean you need to go down there with 8 or 10 people, but you're going to be buying places for that many people. But it's okay because you're not really paying to get in. What you're paying for are prepaid beer and food vouchers. So if there's only 4 of you and you buy a place for 8 people, you're just going to get double the amount to eat and drink. Does that make sense?
Makes sense and sounds good to me.
Some of the things to look out for are things like the word Hauptschiff means the main section. So when you're booking a table, I think it's good fun to be looking for a table in the main section. It means you're going to be kind of like in front of the band where the music is, not on the sides, tucked away. And they're also fun if that's all you can get. I mean, do it by all means. I personally would avoid something called a Stehplatz, which means standing only. I think when they're going to be there for a few hours, you'll need the opportunity to sit down occasionally. Now, don't get me wrong, you're going to be on your feet dancing a lot, but there'll be times where you want to take a break and you're going to want to sit down and have something to eat. So I think personally avoid Stehplatz and look for something that says Tisch, which means table. Now, depending on when you want to go, you'll be able to book either Mittags, which means the daytime section. That's usually from about 11:30 or 12 until 4 o'clock. After that point, about 4 o'clock, they'll start literally kicking you out of the tent because then people that have booked Abends, which is evening, are going to come in for their session. Now, John, when you and I have been down to the Volksfest in Stuttgart, we tend to go down during the day, don't we?
Yeah, we go in the day because then we can get back and be back at a decent hour as well. So doing it for a day trip, it's a good thing to get there in the morning.
Yeah, I think so too. And one of the fun things that I do with a group of friends here is we kind of take a picnic on the bus, on the train going up. So for my meat eating friends, I'll do English bacon sandwiches or cheese brötchen for me. And we actually do have a few drinks on the train going up there to get ourselves in the mood for Oktoberfest or Volksfest.
And lo and behold, you're not the only people doing that on the train, are you? And as you get closer and closer to Stuttgart, it gets busier and busier with people coming on with food and drink and Lederhosen's dirndls with beer and brötchens. And the closer you get, the more and more people get on and the party just gets going on the train. It's really, really surreal.
Yeah, it's a fantastic way to do it. And you'll start to feel like you're really part of something as you get closer to it. So once you've found a kind of a date and a time slot that you're happy with, you'll go through and book your tickets, depending on the number of people you want. What you're going to get then is back in the post from the tent organisers, you're going to get something called Getränkemarken, which means drinks vouchers, Essensmarken, which means food vouchers, and an Einlassband, which is a wristband to get into the tent itself. So if you've booked this for 8 people, you're going to get 8 Einlassbands, you're going to get 8 Essensmarken, and that's going to give you a voucher for a meal that's usually worth about just under 10 euros, maybe 9.90 euros. Generally speaking, that's going to cover one of their traditional meals like a Schweinehaxe, which is the huge knuckle of pork. Or in my case, I swap that for Käsespätzle, which is the cheese noodles. But basically, it will just, there's kind of no real negotiation around that. It just buys you one of the main meals. And then your Getränkemarken will buy you a stein of beer. You will normally get 3, depending on the price you pay. So you can usually pay more to get more of these, but you'll usually get between 3 to 4 Getränkemarken per person. That doesn't mean that's all you can buy. You can pay cash there when you get there. But what you're getting is drinks vouchers. And that's usually, they're usually worth the price of a stein of beer. So one big glass of beer, one big glass of Radler, one big glass of wine. So whatever comes in one of those big beer glasses, that's what your voucher buys you. So when you get there, you put your wrist vouchers on, you queue at your tent in the appropriate time, and security will start letting you through and you find your table. You'll be given a table number. Now, no matter how big your group is, you're going to share a table with someone. And that's absolutely fine. That is exactly the whole point of the experience of these beer festivals. It's a folks festival, basically. It's a people's festival. It's about people coming together. So you'll get on your table, and as you start ordering, you'll have your own waiter or waitress for that table. And as you start ordering your drinks from them, they'll take the vouchers off you. So if you order a round of, say, 8 drinks, they'll take the vouchers off you. The one thing the vouchers don't include is what's called bedienungs, which is delivery. So you're going to need to pay usually 50 or 60 cents per drink directly to the waiter. That's basically their tip. So it's actually pretty cheap, I think, when you think about it. It's not even the 20% that Americans will be used to tipping. But every time they bring you a round of drinks, you need to make sure you've got cash available. And you'll need to check when you get your vouchers in the post. It will tell you what bedienungs costs. It's usually 50, 60, it might even be 70 cents this year. And you need to make sure you've got that cash available for every drink, for every time you get that delivered.
Got it.
Now, something we've done is actually have a big like pot in the middle of our table with lots of Kleingeld or loose change in, didn't we, John?
That's right,
I think,
yeah.
When we've done it before. And then everyone's just taken it out and given it to the waiter. And hey, if you want to give them extra, they're not going to complain, and you'll get great service from them for the rest of the day.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good way. A regular tip for them is brilliant.
Yes.
Also, one thing that you mentioned there, cash. I know, you know, but just to make it very clear, cash is king in these events, right? It's only cash. There's no card once you're inside the tent.
Absolutely not. Forget about it. There may be a couple of Geld automats, so cash machines that you can use to get cash out. But if you're paying for fare rides, if you're paying for souvenirs and trinkets and extra food, and, you know, you might want to pay for extra drinks and food when you're in the tents as well, even if you've prepaid for it, you're going to need cash.
And something you need to look out for, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, is it going to charge you a deposit, a fand or a deposit for the glass? If they're giving you a chip for the glass, that means you're getting charged probably €2 or €3 deposit to make sure the glass is returned. So just check at your table whether that happens to you or not, because I know a lot of people end up leaving there and they've got a load of chips in their pocket and they're €30 or €40 down purely on deposits, so they haven't given the glasses back. But that's not everywhere, and it's changed from year to year. So just check it out when you're there.
Yeah, it's definitely the case. If you haven't booked a table and you're going to the bar yourself to buy drinks, that's definitely going to be the case. And the fand is probably quite a lot higher than normal because those glasses are huge. And of course, a lot of people do just pay the fand and take one home as a souvenir, which is perfectly fine because you've paid for it.
Exactly, exactly. Well, let's say I want to go. I've managed to book tickets. I'm going down there. I don't have the clothes. Where do I buy lederhosen? Where do I buy a dirndl? Obviously, I don't want to buy a dirndl for me, but you know what I mean.
My best recommendation, if you want to buy new, is to go to C&A. I know there's a C&A in the shopping centre in Kaiserslautern, in K and Lautern.
Yep.
I know there's one in Mannheim, because that's where I live. I believe there's one in Stuttgart, and I believe there's one in Wiesbaden as well.
Okay.
If not, there's definitely one in Frankfurt. C&A have a whole section and they're already out there. So this is, we're recording this in early September. This section is already there. So when you go into C&A, you're looking for a section called Trachten, which means traditional dress. I don't recommend spending a huge amount of money on these traditional clothes, because if you're only buying them to go to Oktoberfest or the Volksfest, they're going to get covered in beer and you need to be able to throw them in a washing machine. So don't go down to Bavaria and spend $2,000 on one of these beautiful handmade dirndls. They are incredible. They're a work of art. It's like a piece of tradition that is woven into the fabric of everyone, and they are stunning. But several grand on a dress that you're going to get covered in beer is not a good idea. So this is why I suggest to everyone, either go to C&A or buy secondhand, look on one of the classified sites or the yard sale sites and buy from somebody that's leaving Germany already. J- just assuming you're going into somewhere like CNA, you're going to spend between 75 and 125 euros for a dirndl. And what you want to make sure is that you're looking for a dreiteilig, so three-piece dirndl. That's going to include the dress itself, the shirt, which comes underneath the dress, that just, and it will be short. That might surprise you. It's going to be really short. It literally just covers your bits. And then the apron that goes over the top. You should be able to buy all of that in one set for less than 125 euros. For the men, it's a little bit more difficult because the word lederhosen does suggest that they're made of leather, and they are. A set of lederhosen on their own are probably going to cost you about 99 euros. And a shirt, you're looking for a nice checkered shirt to go with it. That's a hemmed. That's going to cost you about 30 euros. And then usually they'll sell you some socks to go with it. You can buy the shoes, but most people tend to use their own shoes because they're a bit more comfortable. So it's not a cheap way of doing it, but to go to Oktoberfest or Volksfest and not be dressed up, you're actually going to feel really out of place.
That's right. It's you are completely out of place if you're not dressed up at one of those events. So it's worth doing. It's worth spending the extra money. And it's something that can live with you for a long time. You know, I go back to Cambridge now, and in Cambridge, when we go home, they've got Oktoberfests. They've got Oktoberfests in London. A friend of mine's in Dallas. He's going to an Oktoberfest in Dallas, you know, and he's going to go dressed up in his lederhosen and stuff. And it's something you can take with you and, you know, share memories and have, you know, a lot of fun with.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I, you know, if you buy the traditional dress, either new or secondhand, I personally think it's something to keep. I bought mine about 5 years ago. It goes in the washing machine after every festival. It comes out as good as new. I've used it every year. I don't think I'll ever give it up, actually. I feel like it's kind of like part of my little piece of living here in Germany. And in fact, a couple of years ago, I organised a surprise Sound of Music picnic for my mum back home in Cambridge. And everybody came wearing dirndls and lederhosen, and it looked fantastic. And you're going to have the best photographs. If you and your friends go down there dressed up in traditional German clothes for the beer festivals, those photographs will last with you for the rest of your lives. It'll be amazing. If you don't do it, you'll wish you had.
Got it. Well, getting dressed up and having a few beers and having fun, that's some definite Instagram moments there. Obviously, we've mentioned taking children down there. You can't have children in a beer tent for 3, 4, 5 hours. I would certainly personally take them in for the experience for half an hour or so. And then what else is there to do? Because, you know, I'm a family here. I've got 2 or 3 children. I want my children to experience it. There's other stuff to do there for sure, right?
Yeah, it's like I said before, it's a huge fairground, lots and lots of fairground rides. Some of them like really beautiful traditional ones, as well as kind of modern terrifying ones, which would make me throw up. So it's a fantastic day out for kids. They're allowed in the beer tents. I think they have to be out of the beer tents by 8 o'clock at night, because in the evening, those beer tents, I think they're pretty crazy during the day, but at night they're absolutely bonkers, and you definitely don't want children in there anyway, but they're not allowed after 8 o'clock. But yeah, you're right. Take them in. I think they should go in there for the experience. It's not a seedy place. It's a family experience. There's music, constant music playing all the time. The idea with all of the music is that you stand up and join in no matter what they're playing. You'll find that these traditional bands are playing music, you know, just using traditional, you know, like brass instruments, for example. It's brilliant fun. You'll be expected to lock arms with strangers. You'll be expected to stand on the benches and dance and sing with people. And I think that's a fantastic experience for kids to have as well. One thing that's fantastic about both of these festivals is they do have family days. I know in the Volksfest in Stuttgart, the family day is every Wednesday. And what that usually means is all of the fairground attractions have a discount. So, or sometimes like adults can go on to accompany children for free and things like that. So it's a really good value day to take them. Tends to be, you know, perhaps a little less alcohol orientated when it's a family day. So that's often some of the best days to take the children, for sure.
Great. Well, I've been there and seen many children running around and having good times. So that's good. We've also briefly mentioned food. There's food stalls everywhere, right? I mean, absolutely everywhere.
If you go down to Oktoberfest or Volksfest and don't fill your belly with some of the finest traditional German food you'll ever see, then you've missed a great opportunity.
yeah, I remember going down there and seeing steckle fish, and they had like a fish stuck in pieces of wood being barbecued, and we had those, and then the bratwursts and all the sauerkraut, and it was just the smells, the aromas coming out of everywhere was fantastic. And then you see the kids walking around with toffee apples and cotton candy, and you're like, it's like being a kid again watching it all. It's great fun.
Oh, it is. It's a fantastic experience for sure.
Safety. How safe is it down there? Obviously, it's a big, large event. There's a lot of people there. Are we going to feel safe?
Yeah, you'll find actually there's a lot of security presence and there's a lot of police presence. Things like large backpacks and bags and things are banned. So if you go down there with a huge rucksack on you, you probably won't even get let in. They're really, you know, they'll be really specific about that. Getting into the tents themselves, so they're going to check your bags to make sure that you're not carrying anything you shouldn't be. Definitely no weapons or anything like that would be allowed. So yes, it's a pretty safe environment. Like most things, when there's a huge gathering of people, you just need to be aware.
With all that amount of people, do we need to look out for pickpockets and stuff like that?
I guess it's always, I guess you always need to be slightly on your guard. You're going to find opportunists where there's a lot of, you know, very drunk people hanging around. So just be a bit careful, really. When I go down to Volksfest, I have a little small backpack where I keep my valuables, and I keep them actually on me at all times. I take the minimum amount of stuff with me because I go there and back in the day. I usually carry a pair of very flat, comfortable shoes to walk home in as well.
Got it. A pair of flip-flops stuck in the bag is going to be a good way for later in the day after a few beers or wine shortly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, we've mentioned cash is king. You've mentioned there's a few geld automats or ATMs around. Is it worth bringing a card, or is it not going to be any cards?
I think don't bother with cards and don't bother with dollars. It's cash, euros all the way.
Okay, that makes the things nice and simple. Also, something I want to mention is if we're going to do Stuttgart, the Cannstatter, going from K-Town, the KMC, is very, very easy. All we need to do is jump on the train to Mannheim. And then from Mannheim to Stuttgart, it's 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's really simple, actually. And if you're prepared to take a slower train, and this is something that we do from Mannheim all the time, and you could definitely do it from Kaiserslautern, you could go to Interdeutsche Bahn and book a group ticket on a slower train, which if you're taking a picnic with you on the train anywhere is kind of good fun. You can get a train ticket for next to nothing. So if you're prepared to go not on the ICE, so not on the fast trains, and with a big group of you, you can book a group train ticket. You can usually book one of the cubicles in the train, you know, one of the cabins, so you're all sitting all together, and get it for next to nothing. So, you know, going to Stuttgart over Munich can save you a lot of time, save you a lot of money, and you will have exactly the same experience. I'm going to argue perhaps slightly better, because it's a bit more of an authentic experience rather than a tourist experience.
I agree 100%. And going back to, for instance, the ski club Tannenbaum on base, they do the Munich Beer Festival and Stuttgart. Munich's an overnighter, but the Stuttgart's a one-dayer. They buy the tickets for the tent. You've just got to get your own way down there, and then you're on a table with a lot of people. So that's another good way of doing it. And some other travel groups on base will do something similar as well. But Stuttgart is a day, where Munich is certainly an overnight at least.
You know, whatever it is you choose to do, do one of them.
Absolutely.
Because it's an experience like no other.
Yeah, it's if you think of National Lampoon's European Vacation or something that has you thinking of Europe before you come to Europe, the Oktoberfest is certainly one of the things that you think of with Germany. And I would thoroughly recommend it. I've had some brilliant times, met some great people, and just had a blast and some wonderful memories. And now we've got Instagram and Facebook to share all those memories as well.
Brilliant. I think that's a great place to leave it, John. I'm gonna stuff the show notes with as much useful information as I can to help people navigate their way through either Oktoberfest in Munich or Volksfest in Stuttgart. And you know what's great about Stuttgart? They do it again in spring, actually. They also have something called Frühlingsfest in spring, which is around May. It's the same thing. So you have two different opportunities to go and experience one of these amazing, huge, traditional German beer festivals. And I thoroughly recommend it.
Great. Well, I think that's a great idea and a great tip. So what plans have you got over the next few days, Michelle?
I might be booking myself down to Cannstatter Volksfestival in Stuttgart.
I might be doing the same myself. And this weekend coming, I'm off to Dresden. So that will be another episode for the future.
Oh, wow. That sounds fantastic. Is that just a weekend trip?
Just a weekend trip. So on top of all this beer and drinking and dancing, which we're talking about today, I'm going to do a bit of culture as well to level myself out. So I'll tell you more about it in another episode.
Well, that sounds like a great future episode. That's brilliant. Thanks for joining us today, Explorers. We hope you enjoyed this first episode of the second series. Please let us know if you go down to either Oktoberfest in Munich or the Cannstatter Volksfest in Stuttgart. It's an experience like no other, and we highly recommend it.
Get down there, have a few beers, have a wine schorle, have some fun. But most of all, have great times. Be safe when you explore Europe.
See you next time, Explorers.
See you next time.
If you only do one thing off base when you live in Germany, then I think attending a traditional beer festival dressed in a dirndl or lederhosen has to be the top cultural experience. Whether you join the 6 million other tourists and hit Oktoberfest in Munich, or take our tip and head to Cannstatter Volksfest in Stuttgart, you're guaranteed one of the best experiences of your time in Europe. Prost! I've asked my good friend and sustainable living champion, Jen Gale, to share a sustainable travel tip. A small change we can all make to reduce our impact on the planet as we explore more of it. Take it away, Jen.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, here we are with today's sustainable travel tip, and we're going to ditch the souvenirs. Do you really need an Oktoberfest teddy or a plastic cheap Bavarian hat to remind you of the amazing time that you had? Take loads of pictures and print out the best ones to put on your wall when you get home. And if you just can't resist a physical souvenir, look for local artisans and craft markets rather than mass-produced tat that's actually made in China. There are lots of beautifully made traditional gifts and toys made out of wood in Germany. Stick to something like that if you really must.
If you'd like to get more sustainable tips from Jen, visit her website at www.asustainablelife.co.uk. It's packed full of resources and ideas for really simple steps we can all take to collectively make a big change. I believe the best travellers leave nothing behind but a good impression and take nothing away but great memories.
Thank you for listening to Explore Europe. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you, so tell us in the comment section where you'd like us to visit next. And let us know where you'll be exploring using the hashtag Explore Europe on Twitter. See you next time, Explorers.